Desert Island Disc this week is brought to you in sponsorship with... No.
If the screen adjusted my mic as well, it sort of drifted off. My microphone drifted away as well.
You might want to do that again.
Hello, this is Lug Radio episode 8, and we are sat in the room once again with four random blokes sat in the UK talking about Linux. I'm Jono Bacon, you are...
Matt Revell.
You are...
Ack.
You are...
Sparks.
Hi, baby.
Hello, Sparks.
Hello, Sparks.
Does he turn you on, Matt?
A bit, you know.
Yeah, he's pretty sexy.
Which bit?
The big bit.
My mind. My mind.
The purple bit. Right, so how's everyone doing? Have you had a good couple of weeks?
Yeah, not bad. Went out with the...
Do you have a good night?
Were they nice people?
Did have a good Sunday. just been, you know, reading the news, listening to other Linux-related programs.
Such as?
The Linux Link Tech Show.
Was there any particular reason for that? Because they're not from Lancashire, are they?
Linux Link
it's more
Tech
this,
Show.
The Linux Link Tech Show, and I'm Link.
How's the music go again? Is
it... Linux Link. Linux Link.
Okay.
Do believe being very mean.
Yeah, we do like the Linux link.
And there's
link.
Now hang on, silence for the bagpipes to kick in.
Slug Radio.
Go on, man.
Hello, my name's Neuro. And I've got bags of bandwidth. Fit on my smooth wall.
Ooh.
So anyway, what are we doing on the show tonight?
Yes. Come on, what are we talking about?
We've got lots of things to talk about.
We have.
In fact, we have.
On this tiny piece of paper.
Well, we can talk about the first info points, which happened over the weekend just gone. We've got all the stuff about the European elections, all that. And Richard Stallman in AIDS quote shocker, which leads nicely
AIDS
on...
coat?
AIDS
shocker.
AIDS quote.
Oh, right, I was going to say, what, is that a coat is that you get and it's got AIDS on it or something?
My lovely AIDS quote.
Is it spin-off from status quote?
Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor AIDS coat.
Yeah.
I closed my eyes, contracted HIV.
This is very dodgy territory.
Which leads us very nicely onto the Register. I just wanted to mention that
they talk shit.
To the Register. It's I mean, okay, they could never spell. They didn't understand what grammar was, but they used to provide lots of press releases and the odd bit of news. And now it's the same thing, but no IT news. It's things like, oh, the Beagle 2 thing was a bit of a disaster, wasn't it, lads? Eh?
Yeah.
And stuff like that. What's happened to
it? I think in part
that
the reason why we...
was an inflated condom that failed, really, wasn't it? So,
well, there
either
is that.
Over-inflated the condom or under-inflated the condom, but it either bounced or didn't. So that's kind of the IT.
You've used that quote before, haven't you? It either bounced or it didn't.
Colin Pickering, or whatever his name is, has just gone and hung himself. You do realise?
No,
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 that
broke
sound. I saw him on Time Team the other week.
Rather.
Sure did. Where's a hat? Same bloke, isn't he?
No, not a hat.
Good Lord.
Do you think that our kind of disdain for the Chris Waddle for the Register is maybe because they won't actually mention us at all, irrespective of the fact that we email them every 2 weeks?
Not really, because I mean they kind of, I don't know, I just resent a publication.
Let's face it, it's shit.
Uses words and
you resent a publication that uses words. Fucking hieroglyphics. We're looking for
or just
pictures. You know, it's just not good enough, all these words that he's
quick made. Survey among
or
our listeners.
Contains language.
Or maybe knee scratching. A new form of communication. Oh, yes, I see that Sko has taken someone to court today.
Did we interrupt you in the middle of the sentence?
Okay, Sparks. We should have a quick survey among our listeners. Has anyone ever met a Register reporter that wasn't wearing a bad suit?
Me, I have.
No, it wasn't wearing a bad suit.
Finishes.
A classic example of Ack jumping in.
It's always premature.
You're right, actually, he was wearing a bad suit. Yeah,
they all wear bad suits. Everyone I've met wear all a bad suit. Now, I want to be proved wrong on this. I want to know that one of them's cool and puts out our press releases and looks good doing it.
Well, we can send them an email tomorrow saying, the Register was mentioned in Lug Radio, and they won't mention that either. So
anyway, enough of this Register talk. Boring stuff like new Creative Commons licenses, but there's some kind of, I don't know, controversy around that. And all this stuff with the Alexa Tocqueville Institute and yes. Ken Brown and all of that. So yep. got a bit of a show ahead of us.
Well, it's going to be fun. Shall we kick off?
Yeah. We shall.
You are listening to the Gladio.
Desert Island Discs this week. We've had a couple of emails sent to show@lugradio.org.
Oh, so professional.
That's show@lugradio.org.
Bollocks.
So, yeah, the first one, well, we'll just do the one tonight. It's yes. from Mike Scope Guy. Don't know his real name.
That is his name, isn't it? Mike Scope Guy.
Yeah, I think it's
that would be ironic, wouldn't it?
Well, then if he's nicknamed Scope Guy, he'd be like Mike Scope Guy, Scope Guy, wouldn't he?
What is
Mike, so good bollock, they named scope him guy, twice. Scope Guy, Bollock, Scope Guy, Mike.
But anyway, yes.
But his brother's name's Greg.
A nice is that hyphenated?
He married someone called Jenny Scope Guy.
Can you imagine the coincidence?
Is he American? Because then she'd be Jenny Scope Guy, Scope Guy.
The third.
I didn't, until recently, I didn't realise that all Americans seem to hyphenate, you know, double barrel the lady's name when they get married. Is that right? Our American citizens?
All American ladies get double-barreled when they get married.
Well, it's like spit roast, but it's a bit of a more of a stretch to get it all fitted in. if that happens, two or three generations down the road, you're going to have like people with eight names just for the surname.
Yeah, you know, lobbying these people are named after the whole Chelsea football team or whatever.
I mean, we know Axe named after every Cambridge historian of the 1960s. Have you got 12 names, Zach?
First Stuart off, no. That was Comfort Eagle.
Oh, yeah. He's the Comfort Eagle.
Cannibalise our own history. Omfort
Eagle. Colin Omfort.
Charlie Omfort.
Charlie Omfort.
We've run out of jokes. We've recycled one from the first show.
So anyway.
Take it away, Matt.
So, Scope, I can't see the screen for me. What is his real name? He's a nice bloke. He's from
Mike.
He's Mike.
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 It's not no, just Mike.
It's just called Mike.
Right, so let's see what he's...
Maybe he's that thing from Monsters, Inc., that eyeball thing.
We're on the mic with Mike.
Okay, anyway, his first thing is N-I-H Image J.
Now, that's got an N at the front of it. Is that some kind of network tool? Ah, interestingly, someone has emailed show@lugradio.org to suggest that it was a bit odd that last time's Desert Island Discs feature was all based around network tools. When the guy was on a desert island.
We did say at the beginning it'll have connectivity via some magical means.
Yeah, and it's fucking unreal as well.
If I was looking to make fucking email and web clients worth
it. Well, you know, I don't disappoint him. Anyone who was writing in with the hope that we'd be sending them the tickets by return post, right? That's not how it works.
We haven't got pictures.
It's not actually real, you know. Harry Potter isn't real.
Well, Mike elaborates.
What? So he's got the Legends of Nim at the front? What is that? I can't see it.
It's
fucking Legend of Nim.
N-I-H, Image J, free open source image analysis program written in Java from the National Institutes of Health.
Of Lampoons.
It's extensible through plugins, a huge number... So, yeah, it's...
What the hell is image analysis?
Well,
analyzing images, surely.
Perhaps you are so wise.
The clues in the title, the clues in the title.
Perhaps it's something to do with x-rays or something. So it's from the National Institute of Health.
Or brain
scans.
Well,
yeah, listen, the Kinsey Institute or something. Analyzes porn.
Maybe. Let us know, Mike. Tell us what it is, because we don't know what it
is. Yeah, we can't slag it off officially. We haven't got a clue what it does.
Like a dialysis machine.
Like that stops
taking
us before.
The NHS.
All a bit loud there.
Take it easy. Right, next one's the GIMP. Right, we know what that is.
Yeah,
Mike says, the original killer app of Linux.
Do you reckon?
It can do just about anything except pre-press process work, no CMYK, which is very true.
Which is very true, and it's apparently a big pain in the arse. People do this kind of thing a lot.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, it locks it out of the printing industry, isn't it?
Yeah. Back to what you were saying, I don't think it was the original killer app, but to my mind it was the first really professional application that there was on Linux.
It's the first desktop killer app.
Did you read that thing the other day?
But it does. It
works well.
In terms of functionality, it was a reasonable competitor to things like, say, Photoshop.
Oh, I think it's a
fucking
reasonable
Adobe guys going, no, it isn't, absolutely not.
It's a reasonable
not
competitor to PaintShop Pro, maybe.
It's reasonable for web use.
In comparison. Yeah. Okay, fireworks then. It's a reasonable competitor to fireworks, let's say.
I don't know, the vector of things for fireworks actually quite cool.
Fireworks is awesome.
Did you read that thing the other day about a Mac Photoshop user criticising the interface? That was quite interesting.
Yeah, I read that, yeah.
Criticising the Photoshop interface?
No, criticising the GIMP.
Compared the two. But that was Mac GIMP, wasn't it? And there's slight differences with Mac GIMP as well.
The GIMP is, I mean, GIMP,
the interface
GIMP 2...
is horrible.
has been improved dramatically from GIMP 1.
Mm. Well, GIMP 1 breaks the GNOME usability guidelines and everything, doesn't it, in every way?
When they wrote it, there weren't any GNOME usability guidelines. There wasn't any fucking exactly. GNOME. They had to invent a widget set for it.
The thing is, though, is, I mean, GIMP 2 feels like a more professional, more rugged application when you use it. It really does feel like you've got something special between your fingers.
You prefer the feel of a younger, special GIMP.
I like where this is leading, to be honest.
I prefer younger GIMPs as opposed to older, more seasoned GIMPs.
I think this scene ends with Zed's dead, baby Zed's dead. Pop culture, mate. I'm sorry, you don't get these references.
And more importantly, GIMP 2 has a nicer splash screen than GIMP 1 and therefore is a better application.
That's the most important thing.
Absolutely.
GIMP splash screens. Come on, let's get on with it.
Come on with the GIMP set. The thing I think is strange about the GIMP is the plugins aren't really like plugins, they're more like actions, and they're like somewhere between the two. It's too hard to use if you're a Photoshop user who's used to writing a macro in actions, and it's not powerful enough if you're used to writing real plugins. It's sort of in the middle.
The thing is, I mean, I think the impression I get is a lot of people who say, oh, the GIMP is the best thing in the world, are people who really don't know a lot about
Photoshop
graphics and haven't used Photoshop. I mean, I know a graphical designer, and he's given the GIMP a try, and he says that it doesn't compare.
Oh, it doesn't. I mean, Photoshop CS, the latest version, it is just amazing, the stuff that it does. You get a really dark photo and just go, click on a button, and it brings out the people in the foreground and leaves the background in touch, so you can... Oh, man,
The thought there is this, right? What's good about that? Is it that it can do that at all, or is it there's a button easily available to you?
Because no, I mean, that it can do it
I
at
imagine
all.
Right, but I mean, if someone wrote some script for the GIMP, you know, a scripting plugin that would do that, say, you still wouldn't have a button there easily available to you. So it still wouldn't be any good. It runs a bit into the, you know, the whole kind of Linux. It can do all this really powerful stuff, but nobody knows kind of thing, which is weird because, you know, GNOME are trying to overcome that sort of shit, and it's a GNOME application. It's in fact the canonical GNOME application.
Let's not forget, I suppose, Photoshop was created, the original version, several years ago. It has had several million pounds put into it and cost £700 to buy. Yep. Whereas the GIMP is free to all of us, and that makes it cool.
And the thing about the GIMP as well is that, to be fair, it probably satisfies 95% of the people who use it. It probably satisfies their requirements. Because people who want to use it probably want to touch of photographs, they want to do web graphics, they want to do all that kind of stuff. And the GIMP is fine for that kind of stuff. If you've got real high-level kind of image handling kind of stuff, then, yeah, you probably can't do that at the moment. But it's open source and it's getting there, so...
Mike also mentions Film GIMP, which I've seen, but I don't really know a lot about it. He says there is even a 16-bit version used by film studios for film restoration.
Great.
Yeah. Which is Film GIMP, but I know it exists, and that's all I know about
that
it.
That used to be CinePaint, I think.
So stop talking about it, then.
Yeah, I was waiting for someone else to, like, you know, step in and explain
except
what its deal.
We don't know.
Oh, right. It's, okay. Never mind.
No.
Except we speak all Cine Paint.
Yeah, Cine Paint, as far as I'm aware.
Right. Oh,
and
okay.
It's used by studios, isn't it?
It's been used by loads of professional films. I saw the website the other day, and it's like
that,
proper films.
It's all Shrek sort of.
Like
films.
Yeah, big kind of professional. It was used
a lot
in, like,
of them.
Why isn't it called Gefump? Film GIMP.
What's the fucking name of the studio? Pixar.
Yeah.
They've apparently got, you know, really big Linux rendering farms and stuff like
HP
that.
HP installed them for them.
Rather than using indies or whatever, SGI machines like they always used to.
Yeah, I don't think anybody uses SGI anymore, do they?
They do run Linux quite well.
Well, but who the hell would go out and buy an indie? I mean, they're cool and everything. But if you could run Linux on it...
Second hand, they were buying and stuff like that.
Are they?
Yeah.
Can I get an indie?
Yeah.
Always wanted an indie.
They're
probably shite now. You know, I thought they were the bollocks, and now they're just like low-spec 386.
They were in about 1996.
It needs to go, because I've got the Alpha server and the Ultra Spark. It needs to go next to it.
What chip do they run?
MIPS.
MIPS.
Oh, right.
Incidentally, for those of you for those of you who are interested in 3D graphics, go out and buy the Toy Story 2 DVD, I think it is. And on there, there's an animation that Pixar did back in...
Snowman.
Back in 1983 or 86, something like that. And it's absolutely incredible.
The one with the snowman.
I can't remember what.
Commodore 64, is it done on? Or?
The 3D graphics are there. The kind of thing you'd be impressed by today.
Yeah. There's
and it
one,
was done all those years ago.
There's one, some damn Pixar film I've got. I can't remember which one it is, but my daughter watches them. And they've got this little sort of 3-minute animation. It's of a snowman in a, you know, a snow dome. Snowman.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's really good. It's not just that. It's, you know, it's quite comedic what happens.
Right. Let's sit on the jokes then. Come on.
We should get Scott to look to carry on with this one because Nuro's into his 3D stuff as well.
He's a graphics guy.
Well, he likes Pixar and stuff like that. We had a chat about it before.
Does he watching films as opposed to making them more?
Oh, yeah. Deep Throat, the twist at the beginning where the clitoris is in the throat.
Done in Blender.
Right, I'll just click render new.
Right, okay. Next. Number three, licks.
What's that?
According to the website.
It's licks.
He says, according to the website, does he actually know what this thing is? Licks is an advanced open source document processor, blah, blah, blah. Oh, we know what licks is, don't we?
Yeah,
LaTeX.
Yeah, licks is basically... Is it lick? Like tech?
I suppose it's lick, yeah.
I suppose it must be lick, is it? Yeah. Lick. It's like a word processor, but that makes LaTeX. So it's sort of WYSIWYG and sort of not. You know, white space gets collapsed and stuff.
Right.
So
it's really shit, to be honest.
I used to
write loads of stuff in LaTeX years ago. And
if you're a typesetter, writing
stuff in raw LaTeX is a pain in the arse.
I think that's the whole point of the language. You've got to write it.
The idea behind lick is you get a kind of WYSIWYG. I bet it's not lick. I bet it's fucking licks, right?
It says licks there.
Well, yeah, but LaTeX is pronounced LaTeX.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah, no, it's fucking stupid. Oh, it's bloody Linux.
My name's
Linux people, don't trust them. Hello, Matt.
Well, it's spelt Navigator, but it's pronounced Mozilla. That's in Netscape, wasn't it? It's pronounced Mozilla. I can't fucking remember. This was the 90s. Yeah. I was too stoned.
It's spelt Lin-dash or whatever.
There's click as well, isn't there? I suppose you... Click or clicks or
that's the one I used to use, and it was really good. You could concentrate on the actual writing rather than forwarding.
That was quite good when we didn't have like normal word processors for Linux years ago.
I think it's always going to be a niche thing, but it would be nice to think that you could work like, because one of the neat things about it is it produces really clean stuff to work with when you finish with it. I mean, you look at sort of Word, if you actually look at a Word file, say export it to HTML so you can see how it works, you'll get loads of bits where you've got a Word where you highlight it to be bold, say, and you only highlight the first half of it by accident, and then you'll sort of go, you know, highlight the second half and make that bold, and it won't collapse it into one bold tag. You've got a Word with bold tags in the middle of it, say.
Right.
And you think, well, it doesn't matter if all you're looking at is the WYSIWYG section side of it.
Yeah,
but it makes it a pain in the arse for the typesetters because they've got to go through and take all that crap out.
If you're not using the full typesetting language, surely using something like DocBook's easier these days anyway.
Yeah, that's more standard, isn't it? Should we move on?
I'd actually like to know why Mike thinks it's good, because to me, it's a very specialised thing when we've got like OpenOffice and Abbey Word and all that now. So why use licks or lick or...
Perhaps he's a printer of medical images.
He says...
Maybe.
He says this means... hang on, let me read it.
It takes some getting used to at first, but the results are well worth it and look professional. But, I mean, they're professionally typeset, yes. But the results look professional if you just... use later. The results look professional if you use Word and print it out.
I think
it depends
what you're doing as well. But I think the results look dated now as well. They look professional in the sense that they're typeset, but they look dated by comparison to the kind of things you get now.
Yeah, Mike.
Right.
Oh, okay.
Next one, Midnight Commander.
Never really fiddled with it. It reminds me of
lazy people, isn't it?
Yeah.
I never played with it at all. I thought it was shit when I first used it. I used to use X3 Gold for Windows.
That's exactly what it reminds me of. Yeah. I was just about to say that X3 for DOS.
Well, for DOS,
is what it reminds me of. All the things where you wanted one application, because you only have one application running, so you want the thing to let you browse around your file system, and it had an editor built into it.
Yeah,
and stuff like that, because you couldn't spawn another application.
It was handy.
Unless you went out and bought Sidekick for £200.
It was really handy for deleting files as well, because deleting files in DOS was a pain in the arse. Like, having to string, because you had no tab completion. You know, you didn't really know about it, did you? It's like, oh. I remember when I first used Linux, and if you press tab, it'll fill in the file name.
Will it?
And it was like weird, sympathetic magic. Yeah. No.
My God, black magic.
I mean, Midnight Commander, it was the sort of thing that we used to use 15 years ago.
Yeah.
And, you know, you don't have to use the fucking command line anymore.
What's the point now?
And I don't get the point of it, really. I don't do a lot of file manipulation if I'm working on the command line. If I'm only working on the command line on a server, I don't tend to spend a lot of time on that server doing anything on it. You know, it's normally sort of headless. It just sits there and does work, and that's it.
And if you're going to do anything, if you're logged in, you're probably going to be manipulating a couple of files as opposed to necessarily doing some serious file moving about, unless you... moving.
The command line is powerful enough though on Linux, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. I mean,
that's the beauty of open source, so we've all got the choice.
We've all got the choice. Shall I read the next one out?
Go for it.
Number 5, numeric. Similar to Microsoft Excel, but not a slave to it. Quick to load and easy to use.
I've never used it.
It's just Excel. You know, I mean,
how does it compare to OpenOffice Calc? I've never used it.
I'll be honest with you, I've never used the OpenOffice one. I've always used numeric because it's been able to open Excel files and do everything that Excel can do for about the last 4 years.
Right.
So it's just fine, you know.
I don't have a need for a spreadsheet, generally, to be honest.
Well, no, I just do my bills on it.
Yeah, I mean, the spreadsheet...
What, duck bills?
I've just started using the Gnu Cash thing, which is very much like Quicken. You scared the shit out of me and I'm going to stop using it. Really?
I mean, the only spreadsheet stuff I do is Quacken. The simplest thing imaginable. Like, you know, you're putting a row of numbers and then it'll add them up. The sort of thing that made spreadsheets revolutionary when they invented them in 1983.
I remember Lotus 1-2-3.
I didn't do anything more complicated than that. VisiCalc was before
I remember
that.
As it is. No, Lotus 1-2-3 was...
No, sir. VisiCalc was first.
You sound like you think I care.
I do care.
No, sir. No, I have better spreadsheet knowledge than you, sir. All right, sir.
Pit the younger there, pit the older about spreadsheets.
Much as we're all exhilarated by spreadsheets, we'll move on to number six, which is Galleon. It seems to have the options I want for controlling cookies and other intrusions on my privacy. Standards compliant, but not very fast. Galleon. What? Do we need Galleon?
KHTML-based browser for...
No, Galleon is Mozilla-based.
It is Mozilla,
so what's the point when we've got that other thing for GNOME that's based
that
on...
That is fucking Epiphany. For now. Epiphany. Oh,
well, the reason Epiphany exists is because Galleon is too feature-heavy.
Oh.
They wanted a GTK base. People said, you know, it's completely stupid that Mozilla implements all its widgets itself. We want to just embed the Mozilla browsing control inside a proper application, GTK application.
Right.
So they wrote Galleon. And then Galleon got loads and loads and loads and loads and loads of stuff in it. And a load of people said, we need to keep it very small, very simple, very stripped down. And the Galleon people went, bite the fat one, we're not interested. So they spun off Epiphany.
Right, so then Epiphany will get spun off.
Well, I don't think so. The guy who writes Epiphany has been very clear about how... Marco something, I think his name is. Probably. He'd been no.
He's still slow to load,
He's been dead clear about how he really doesn't want it to become incredibly feature-heavy. To my mind, I mean, Firefox has got the best of both worlds, because it starts off really light, and then you plug in loads of extensions if you want them.
All of this Galleon Epiphany, all this is bollocks. Just stick with Firefox.
I've been using Firefox this week with the web developer toolkit to clear... authentication and stuff.
Yeah.
And if you can do that, what the fucking hell, what more could you want?
Exactly. I mean, Firefox.
The thing you want in Firefox, there's something which picks random names for it.
Yeah.
I've got that, yeah.
Brilliant. If it's like Mozilla Firebudger and stuff.
Flat Fox and stuff.
I had Mozilla Seabiscuit the other day.
It's
fantastic. Nice. When you get the soggy biscuit, give me a call. Take a screenshot.
I mean, you know, it's kind of, you know, you install it, you think, wow, this is hilarious, about 30 seconds, and you never think about it again. But it's dead funny for those 30 seconds.
You know, the strange thing is, it also shows you guys didn't listen to Slug Radio 1. Because they talk about it a lot about halfway through. Oops. In exactly the same as we have. So,
no, we did. We just, you know.
We're inspired.
We're inspired.
You wee bastard! Right. Next.
Hang on. Okay. K3B.
Keb.
Easy to use graphical front end for CD burning. The Roxy over Linux. I don't use CD burning Linux, so I don't really know about
it. I've used K3B. It seems cool to me, but I also use XCD Roast because that's just works under GNOME and. K3B probably does, but it loads up all the KDE.
This is an
KDE
exciting
shit.
Subject, isn't it?
You
CD
know
burning.
What I'm going to say about this.
Go on.
K3B, enormously overblown wank. It's just
surely an enormously overblown wank is a good thing.
No.
Because you're like,
No.
Did it reach nipples or did it get as far as your nipples?
What, your own nipples?
Her nipples.
Sparks, have you used a broken wind again?
No, it's those ducks flying past
the window. Duck. No, I don't like K3B, but people who do like KDE probably do like it. There you go. What? Next.
Yeah. Oh, gone. Right. No. I don't want to get into it.
All right. Knopix.
Knopix or Knopix? What are you saying?
I'm going to get down with some crazy Knopix mojo. Includes most of the above. So I suppose it alone could be my desert island disc. Well, thanks for putting that number 8. We could have prevented all of this conversation. Canopics is great, but Mandrake Move, I prefer.
We're not giving him Canopics, I want to be fair. We said a working Linux distribution, which is obviously Debian. So we can have that. We'll make a Morphix, because Scott, just what he asked for.
Yeah.
Fair enough, yeah. So, yeah, disallowed.
it's not Debian.
That's it. I mean, he says I use KDE.
It is Debian.
No, come on. He's picked that because it's got everything he wants in it, right? Yep. But then he's picked seven other things and I'm already in it.
he says, I use KDE, but my Desert Island discs are a mixture of KDE and GNOME apps. And he says, my Desert Island luxury, enough chocolate to make life on the island worthwhile.
That would be no chocolate.
Would it be a cool island, or would he be having to pick sand out of his melted chocolate for the rest of his life?
Would it be a bounty, do you think?
It's going to be that foul Nestle chocolate as well.
Actually, as it's from America, it's probably a Hershey bar or something like that.
Hershey bar.
I want to see your Hershey bar.
Hot dang, Ma.
The strange thing about Americans is they've got Mars bars and Milky Ways mixed up somewhere along the lines.
And Snickers.
Marathon.
It's a bloody marathon. I'll see you down mine.
It's like a shit after eating too many bar peanuts, that is.
I know we were kind of slagging off the register earlier, but I have been reading it. And they were talking about, Richard Stallman was in London last Friday, I think, talking about software patents. And he's been going around lobbying the Polish and the Spanish and people like that, trying to...
Been doing what?
Lobbying the Polish, the Spanish,
the Americans and the British. Not the right people to be lobbying, are they?
No, it's the lizards who control the earth who he should be lobbying. Oh, yes.
You've been reading about David Icke's connections with the Green Party.
It's a new world order, inflicting software patents on us. The bastards.
Yeah, yeah.
Fnord.
So, yeah.
The earth lizards.
You'll get my one-click patent when you pry my cold, dead, 18-fingered hand off.
he just known that patent, you know.
Jeff Bezos.
No. A German bank apparently owned it.
See, Fraunhofer owned it.
Yeah,
they're the MP3 people.
He gave them pretty much everything in return. Yeah. Really early on.
What?
He gave them the patents portfolio before they were even registered as patents, as a thingy on loans.
Really? As collateral?
Yeah.
Oh, right. Oh, cool.
Oh, the bastard. Right, anyway.
So Stallman was in London talking about software patents, and he was asked, basically, does it really matter, you know, if all the free software developers turn away from developing free software and just go and do something else? And he said something along the lines of, well, actually, John, you read it out. You're next to the register as it is now.
He says, this won't be the end of free software, he says, but it will kill off much of the community. Sure, there'll be some of us left, Stallman noted, but that's like saying it's okay if millions of Africans dies of AIDS. Because there are loads of Africans left.
Now, a nice bit of the register doing their usual fuck up on grammar there.
Yeah.
But
actually, Stallman's fuck up on grammar doesn't sound so bad when you read it Stallman style, which is, if millions of Africans dies of AIDS, because then it quite works. Then his grammatical error works.
But hackers, that's not good. someone mentioned earlier, I think it was you, Sparks, when we were off air, that basically... Maybe that's a fair comment, because it is, basically unfair to say that it's okay if loads of Africans die because there's lots of them left. You know, it's not right to say that. It's a shocking analogy
because he's trying to use shock tactics.
I know, but what my whole point is that he's just doing it wrong. He's doing it badly.
It's a bad analogy.
It's a bad thing to say, because lots of people...
His problem is he needs to sound like Ian Paisley or somebody to actually get away with that kind of shock comment. If you're standing there and saying, this is a stupid comment, now I'm going to make it so slowly that all of you guys is going to hear it.
But
it
says, that's us a stupid comment, and I'm going to say it so quickly that none of you can understand that.
No.
There will be no priestcraft on the radio.
Fucking
accent radio.
So basically, accent. So basically, there's... To my mind, the problem isn't the quote that he said. If he said it to his mate, then it'd probably be a good analogy. But the trouble is that he's this like unelected messiah of free software that we're lumbered with.
Are you saying all people with long hair, beards and sandals automatically become a messiah?
And sing parable songs.
To be honest with you, he's not the messiah. He's a very naughty boy.
He's not the messiah. It's another accent for long radio.
And everyone from the AFFS and FSF are standing and saying, I'm an individual. Sorry, a bit of a Monty Python Life of Brian quote there.
Yes, we are all individuals.
I'm not.
I mean, it's a bit worrying that something you said earlier, Matt, is that people remember the quotation rather than
out
the issue.
Out of context, the problem is that he's probably thought to himself, hey, that was a really good quote I gave there. People remember that. But
he thought, hey, that was a really good quote to gave there.
Might.
And,
but the problem is, I think he doesn't know how to work the media. Maybe that's not what he wants to do. But the problem is that, like I say, he's this unelected guy who we're all lumbered with. Now, I'm not saying that everyone who wants to speak for the open source and free software community has to be elected. But, I don't know, just with all the talk of European and local elections in the UK at the moment, it just made me think the other day, you know, much like the Queen, we're lumbered with him. If he says crazy things, then it reflects badly on all of us.
I think
the problem is, come the revolution, are we allowed to shoot Stormont?
Well, no, he'll probably be the one with the gun, won't he? Oh, no, that's Eric.
The issue with Stormont is that, I mean, I read this the other day. I don't see any news value in this story whatsoever. So what? Stormont says something that people kind of raise their eyebrows at. That's all
he
does. Shot
Corrett, the Register reports something that's not news.
I mean, the thing is, as I've said before on my blog and everything, I've just read Stallman's biography.
Okay? JohnO'Bagan.org.
I've just read his, I suppose it's an autobiography. And
did he write it?
No.
Then it's a biography.
It's a biography, then.
Is it like auto?
There's a lot of quotes in there. Anyway, in this particular book, it's quite evident that Stallman's main drive to do the whole GNU project was because the community that he was a part of, the hacker community at the AI lab, was just destroyed.
Yeah, he was bummed out.
The thing is that the problem with him is he's dictated too hard about things. I mean, he pissed off so many people. And it's like a great quote in this book is from Bob Young from Red Hat, and he says that Richard treats his friends worse than his enemies. And it's completely true.
Well, we all know people like that in the open source free software world, don't we?
Yeah.
I can't think of anyone at the moment, but...
were looking at me to put my foot in it again?
We've got a name printed up here in neon, but none of you can see it. But yeah.
Oh, no, mystery laser display board.
It looks like a tapestry to me.
This is exactly it. You know, I find myself in the odd position of wanting to defend Stallman against your attacks here. I mean, saying he's unelected is a bit unfair on the grounds that I don't think, despite what you might say, I don't think he's done a lot in order to try and be elected.
Well, no, of course he hasn't. He sees himself as a saviour of the world through free software. And, he's done good. He's a good man, and I'd rather have him in the free software world than Bill Gates, right? Fine. I'm not dissing the man generally. But the point is that within our community, he is seen as a figurehead, and I think that's a bad thing. Because he, along with Eric Raymond and Bruce Perrins and, you know, maybe Mad Dog and a couple other people, are spoken to by the media and seen as representing all of us weirdos with beards and things. Oh my God, do they wear sandals? Yes, sometimes I do, actually.
They're all like that, though, aren't they?
I'm actually going out and buying new sandals this weekend.
I mean, that's like a general problem with the media as a whole. David Beckham represents all footballers or all adulterers.
No.
Or whatever.
No, I agree with
that. If you've got a good person who knows the media and can work the media as your representative, then you haven't got a problem.
But the point there is that we have no elections. You couldn't have an election. That's what I mean. Yes, if we put someone up front to represent the community.
Don't get so tied up on the fact that I used the word unelected. You know, I was just using that to describe it. I'm not proposing we have elections because we're some, you know, homogenous kind of group of people.
You think Bob Young will get him assassinated with an ice pick?
But,
But I was thinking about erasing him from some photographs, actually. In the GIMP.
The problem is you're talking about the community as though it is a homogenous thing, saying, you know, if we had someone up there to represent us.
No, I'm not. I'm saying that we are viewed as a community because we have these people like Stormon who speak on behalf of a very minor set of views, which all of us do, because we all speak for ourselves, basically. And yet it is done in such a way for everyone in who outside of our community to think, they're the weirdos from the Linux world.
But now, I think that's a flaw of the reporting, not of the...
No.
If
Stormon could work the media, it wouldn't be a problem.
But wasn't Stormon talking to the media? But Stormon talking to a bunch of hackers?
But I don't think Stormon...
They
ring him up and... I mean, basically, you know, the media, they'll ring him up and say, what do you think about software patents? And
then they'll say, one at a time, people.
You know, someone will ring him up and say, what do you think about software patents? He'll say what he thinks about software patents, and then it's reported as if he is speaking for the community. I'll admit that some people do tend to take on the mantle of representing the community, but I don't think you can level that accusation at Stormon. He's always very, very clear that he's speaking for himself or he's speaking for the FSF.
Yeah, but that doesn't get rid of the problem that a man who clearly doesn't know how to deal with the media is seen as representing us. Okay, maybe it's a problem with the reporting.
But that's not his fault, though, is it?
No, it is because he's so freaking outspoken.
I think the problem with him, though, is that, Stormon... He came up with the GNU project and all this kind of stuff, right? Fair enough, okay? And he invented the GPL, and that's great. And he's done some great things, and he's travelled the world and all the rest of it, right?
Yeah.
That's fine. But the problem with him is that when he's in a position that he's in, he represents us. And I agree with Matt that he represents us. And the problem with him is that he's not responsible in the way he represents us. He's just... I mean, the thing is, if you look at the people that we've got representing us, like the big wigs, we've got, Raymond, okay, and we've got Stallman, and then you've got people like Linus Torvalds. Now, Linus Torvalds isn't in the same category because he's an engineer. He's not a politician. He's an engineer.
This is quite cool, Mom.
Yeah, and he's a reasoned person, and that's why people like Linus Torvalds. Yeah.
The Ken Brown and Alex de Tocqueville thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right on, brother.
You all fucking listen
up. Come on,
baby. Right, yeah. The Ken Brown thing, I can't imagine anyone who's listening to this hasn't heard about this, but just very briefly to recap, Ken Brown, who's head of the Alex de Tocqueville Institution for FUD, or whatever they're called, they're about to publish a report claiming that Linus Torvalds didn't write Linux. He stole the code from Minix and Andy Tannenbaum.
Yeah.
Yeah, and of course, as Linus has actually told us, it was actually Santa Claus and the Tooth Fairy who wrote Linux.
Absolutely.
What I love about this...
Did he actually say that?
He sent it in a mail to Linux World and published it.
You know,
go on, Torvalds.
The scary thing about this is it's well documented that they used to have fucking spats on Usenet.
Yeah.
About different, totally different architectures. I mean,
Andy Tannenbaum himself published a statement and then a follow-up statement. That was the 23rd and 24th, which was 2 days ago and 3 days ago. About how it's clearly not stolen, because the big argument they had, the famous argument, was over Linux being a monolithic kernel. It's completely unlike Minix. You know, bloody ridiculous.
What I find amazing is that Ken Brown
has stolen the Minix.
What I find amazing is this Ken Brown guy has come along and said, nobody could possibly write a Unix clone on their own. Like he knows.
More to the point, as Andy Tannenbaum pointed out, four or five people have done it. The bloke, you know, I think three guys wrote Coherent.
If you look on SourceForge at the moment, there's a fucking dozen OSs on there.
Exactly. Like,
Atheos.
They all boots.
Guy wrote Atheos.
Scared the shit out of me.
is one guy, as far as I'm aware. Atheos.
A mate of mine, when he was working at one of the big virus companies, just wrote a DOS clone single-handedly in about a month.
Yeah.
It's, you know, that's not as complicated as Unix, but it's possible, guys.
Thing is, right, again, this isn't news, it's bollocks.
Well, what
is this all about?
I mean, as far as I can tell, I mean, Andy Tannenbaum himself asked Ken Brown where his funding was coming from, and Brown refused to answer where the funding was coming from. Now, everyone is obviously saying, it's Microsoft and SCO funding this kind of report.
Yeah.
But I'm starting to come to the conclusion that things like this and the Gartner report and the whole SCO case and everything is not there because any of them individually are expected to win. They're just sowing a general an aura of doubt over the idea of Linux. So when, you know, CIOs have to think about rolling out 2,000 new desktops for Chrysler or something,
yeah,
they're having their head, oh yeah, Linux, aren't there loads of court cases about that?
What's
don't want to get involved with that.
What's in it for Gartner and Alex Tocqueville? Okay, funding. Fine, SCO. Yeah, but you know, I mean, are you saying direct funding now, or are they just banking on funding in the future?
I am loath to say Microsoft turned up and paid them to tell lies, because that would be libelous if it wasn't true.
The thing, so, yeah, I mean, theoretically, we could have...
if it wasn't true. Yeah.
We could have a conspiracy theory that, you know, like we've said before, you know, all of these...
It's made us all sound like we're nuts.
Yeah.
We are nuts. all of these separate things could conglomerate together to form just a bad picture that paints Linux in a negative way.
I think it's bandwagon jumping. They just want to make some money out of a particular path that they see other people taking.
It's a dangerous hobby, though, isn't it, bandwagon jumping?
Yeah, Ian Duncan Smith did it, and he's been...
It's the archetypal FUD, literally, fear, uncertainty, and doubt. Trying to sow, you know, a general picture of Linux's unsuitability in people's minds.
But the question is, do people buy it? I mean... Certainly no one in the Linux community seems to buy it. And I think the thing about the SCO case is there's been so many high-profile people in the press on high-profile sites, people from IBM, people from HP, saying this is rubbish what SCO is saying, that it's undermining SCO's case.
But that individual case on its merits, absolutely. But if you know, 5 years' time, if people turn around and look back over the previous 5 years and say, God, there have been loads of court cases and stuff about it, don't want to get involved in that, they don't know the details. The whole kind of throwing off mud and some of it will end up sticking. Can you honestly say you take a reasoned, assessed and balanced position on everything in your life? Or do you... occasionally go on just stuff you heard but can't be bothered to verify? You just go, it's too much effort, I'll blow it out.
Obviously, like everybody, you know.
Everyone does that.
You try to, but the thing is that it's been, although the SCO case has been publicised, I think a lot of Linux people see it in a kind of a one-sided way in the way that it's been promoted, in the way it's been publicised. The thing
which
is...
we've spoken about in the past. The
SCO case, though, has, to be fair, although the BBC, like, made a big fuck-up with this, the SCO case... The fact that it seems that SCO is spreading FUD as well, that's been well publicised. And I think a lot of people, when you hear about the SCO case, would see it in the fact that they're just shit-stirring. You know, there isn't much there to back them up. And when they lose, and they will lose, that'll back up the whole point even further. I don't think people are that silly to understand, to think, oh, well, you know, some company's taken the Linux community to court and they're going to, you know... the whole Linux thing is rubbish. People are reading the fact that the SCO case is on very dodgy ground anyway. And I think that's got enough weight behind it as well.
I don't know. See, I don't know that people are. I think people who are involved in this kind of thing, yeah. But people involved in this kind of thing are generally not people who are making decisions about it.
But
they're advising people who are making decisions. The people who are making decisions just remember reading in the FT there's some kind of court case about it. And think, not interested in that. But blow it out.
The thing is, though...
obviously I'm taking a somewhat, harsh view on the besuited mandarins of this world.
But on the other hand,
I think you're giving them too much credit.
You don't read every headline, every word in the newspaper. You read the headlines.
Yeah, and not all of the headlines have been entirely... have been saying, you know, Linux community at fault for...
But they're putting Linux in the same headline as FUD.
I think there aren't that many that say, Linux, it's fucking brilliant, go and use it instead of Windows. So there's nothing to balance out the negative. So you get a general kind of negative picture. It's like the slime in Ghostbusters.
The thing is, though, is that... but look at it. I mean, what we've got, right? When I think of the amount of press Linux has had over, let's say, the last 5 years... all people seem to be saying about Linux is it's brilliant, it's stable, it's secure, it's free.
Which press are you reading?
I'm on about general press. I'm not on about /.newsforge. I'm on about general press. When, like, you know, my dad rings me up and he tells me, oh, I read about Linux in the Guardian or in the Sunday Times or whatever. And he says, you know, it's singing the praises of Linux.
But I'll be honest with you, looking in high-end technical press, not like, you know, PC Plus or whatever, but if you're looking at things like Legal Technology Insider, a lot of the...
which, of course, we do every week.
Well, I do every week, you know. I mean, it's not very important outside IT in the legal industry, but it's bloody important inside IT and the legal industry.
Yeah.
And, you know, you've got a lot of reports that say things like, we tried Linux, not quite ready for prime time yet.
All the stuff that I see is more from manufacturing technologies and stuff like that, that's really up for Linux, especially as a real-time operating system. Yeah. So the financial world might not be seeing that, but in other areas of business, it is.
I suspect
it's on every other page.
I can completely concur with what you're saying, Ak, because I think in kind of subset industries, the press is not going to be so... Probably the best word is so experienced with the issues. They're probably going to have some kind of sort of general knowledge of it. But the press I'm talking about is people like the BBC, people like, you know...
Yeah, sort of
the enormous sites.
Mainstream press.
The mainstream sites. Yeah. Now, and I think...
Oh, God, with the media degree being bloody quiet during all of this, by the way.
What were you talking about?
Sorry, John, I can't...
You know, I think Linux gets a pretty good ride in terms of the press, particularly over the last few years. You get the odd thing where, you know, Microsoft claims that Linux is more expensive. But, you know, I don't think this is going to have such a bad impact on the Linux world and the Linux uptake.
Hang on, bear with me. Matt just raised his hand. I don't want to disappoint you. We've been doing this 8 shows. Have you not noticed that's not how it works? He's going to bring an apple next time.
Sorry. Shove it in your mouth. My view is that...
Gimp.
Well, that was an apple donut.
He's on those stairs.
Yeah, thanks for the donuts tonight.
They're very nice.
The way I see it is that I've been involved in various minority communities over the years. The Amiga fan base, Christianity, Marillion, you know, all these
Christianity,
things.
They're such a minority, aren't they?
Fucking aren't, mate.
Not many Christians about, particularly in the UK.
It's really depressed me, being a member of these communities.
Being a member of the Marillion fan community.
Because it's more depressing.
Listen, shut up.
Accepting life as a loser. Okay, yeah, something that we've noticed on the news recently is Fedora Core 2 has been released.
Now that's...
whatever.
You're saying
we hate Red Hat.
Fedora?
Apparently it's Fedora. Core,
bro.
Core.
It's like a London Fedora.
No, the first one was Fedora Core. And everyone's going, Fedora Core 2?
This time it's personal. I've not used Fedora. I haven't used Red Hat for years, though.
And still a postcard. Does anyone give a shit?
Yeah, it's just... No, fuck off.
It's got good potential, though, because, like something that Matt said before, is there isn't really a good desktop distribution that's
good.
That's any good. I mean, Mandrake...
I suppose there are loads of shit desktop distributions which are
good. Well, there are.
Shut up.
Leave that to Zimian, because they're formed to do a Linux desktop. Fedora's meant to be a community project that's... We've got fucking Debian, what do we want RPMs for?
But exactly, I mean, this is the thing, though. I mean, what...
It's not going to happen. You're not going to get Mandrake and Red Hat to give up everything they've ever done and base themselves on fucking Debs. Keep saying this.
We had it, right, for those who are unaware of this, me and Ak were talking about this last night on a certain messaging service. Yeah, we were both laid in bed together, you know, Morecambe and Wise.
That's less embarrassing than saying you're on MSN.
Yeah, we weren't on MSN.
Oh, right.
We were on Jabba.
Where is Jabba? Where is the great and Jabba? John O'No Bacon.
So,
I was Jabba. He was the heart.
Sparks, will you stop farting, for God's sake?
How can you tell me this? You aim at Matt, for God's sakes.
And I've thrown back at him.
You can't, that thick.
Actually, to be fair, yeah, there was a particular smell launched around the room earlier on, and Matt made a particular noise, and I'm going to play it right now. Okay, we'll hear that again. That was the noise of Matt squeaking when he heard the fart going around the room. Well, he didn't hear the fart going around
the room. They're really cutting the farts. They sneak up on you and go, "Look, I'm coming to get you. I smell bad." And if you're really quick with an egg whisk, you can sort of disperse them.
Really quick with an egg whisk. 1, 2, Sparks' fart is coming for you.
So Linux.
And back to Fedora.
It's like warriors played playing and bottles ching 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 ching. Our farts do that in the corner of the room. Count cans.
I didn't know.
What's going on?
I don't know.
Farts gonna get you.
And back to Fedora.
Is he all marked?
It's the beginning of the end of the show.
That was very good. Would you like to just do a normal kind of...
You're all going to have to watch Dick and Dom when it returns in the summer on CBBC.
Dick and Dom, is that some kind of
Dick and
weird
Dom in the bungalow.
In the bungalow.
Dom is D-O-M-M-E, right?
Why is that funny?
Never mind.
We'll tell you when you're a big boy.
When you're old enough to know.
When you're taller than them.
When you're taller than 4 foot, we'll tell you.
He's tall. That'd be cruel. Come on. He's not 4 foot.
What is he's not 4 foot.
He's not average, but... But that just makes him special in our eyes.
Oh, he's special. He's special,
special
towards
Matt.
Yeah, special Matt.
He's always been known as special Matt.
Cheers.
We are the Oompa Loompas.
Ooh, I wonder if I can download the Oompa Loompa music and stick it into this.
No, I wonder.
You know the strange thing is, occasionally I get the urge to go, follow the yellow brick road.
That's not fair.
Okay, are we going to pick on now?
I'll cough to the Oompa Loompa, but he's not a munch.
What, you'll cough? What do you mean you'll cough?
He's going
to hold your balls. And you're
looking at Ack, he is a negative of an Oompa Loompa. In facial features, at least.
For racial speech.
Is that like an upside down Oompa Loompa?
Australian.
G'day.
Oompa Loompa. Oh,
yeah. Oompa Loompa, mate.
Snowy. I could see an Oompa Loompa for me.
I'll tell you something. We're being listened to by people all over the world, and they're just sitting there going, damn, it's near the end. How disappointing that they...
They're just getting to the Oompa Loompa jokes now.
Yeah. And for the rest of the show, they've just been sitting there going, oh, yeah, well, I
like
Linux.
Very technical. We're the Linux show.
Yes.
What are you saying, mate? Are you saying that you've not enjoyed today's experience?
I was a bit tired, mate. I don't know.
Making excuses now.
Yeah.
Just because you know our listeners are going to think you're shit.
I've had a hard
time.
A shit
with a nice cup of tea t-shirt.
Yeah.
It is a cool t-shirt, that.
It is nice t-shirt. I don't even like tea, and I'm fancying one.
What, Matt? T-shirt.
I could take the t-shirt off if you want. So.
Go for it, son.
Show you my hairy nipples.
Actually, we've got to say something my son said today.
Hot and full of liquid.
Anyway, that's all we've got time for.
Now, before we go, we wanted a funny anecdote. Walking through the town today, well, the city it is now, Millennium City and all that. Walking through, bloke playing a trumpet, right? And Tom says to his mum,
bone trumpet.
Tom says, Dad should do that to earn a bit of extra money. Right? And I said, what? Busk in the street, and he says, don't be rude, Dad, keep your shirt on when you're doing it. He thought I said bust.
He thinks you've got a bust.
He thought I was going to show my man baps to get some extra cash.
Your man baps.
Was that ever going to work?
Your manneries.
You're going to flash the flesh for money in Wolverhampton city centre.
Strange.
He
said, look, a U crossed with an aeroplane, look, model aeroplane.
Hope it don't fly in here.
I think it's someone chainsawing apart a homeless person.
Bum Fights is on tonight.
What? Yeah, we're going to miss the Bum Fights thing.
Bum Fights? Oh, is this the thing you were on about, Spark?
Shit, I thought it was 10.
About like people getting some tramps to fight.
Yeah, it's a documentary about it because obviously the programme itself is too sick to watch on British television.
But it's available for download.
Is it an actual programme? Bum Fights?
Yeah. Have you ever seen it?
Yeah.
No.
Imagine
clearly BitTorrent is your friend here if you should want to.
Imagine
you never condone any form of illegal file sharing.
Especially if sharing files that are illegal in the first place. Does it make it more illegal if you illegally file share an illegal file? Or is it already illegal and there's nothing else you can do about it?
You can buy it on DVD.
Snuff torrent.
Oh, God.
Bitch torrent.
My mate actually starred in a snuff film. Obviously, it was a fake snuff film.
Didn't see him afterwards, then. just off to the shoot, love.
Shoot!
It was obviously a fake snuff film. But when the police raided this place that they're being distributed from, they actually pulled him in. Right. They actually pulled him in on suspicion of being connected with a snuff film. He was the fucking corpse. They thought he was real, and they arrested him.
What did they do to him in the film?
A fucking corpse.
What did they do to him in the film?
Killed him.
Pretended to kill him and bury him in the woods.
Oh, yeah. Is that it?
If you've ever seen a film with a bloke with a great big Mohican being buried in the woods, that was my friend from a few years back.
I think it's unlikely that we're going to see such a film.
Yeah.
So, yeah, so...
Oh, one thing that we should probably talk about is congratulate or just say that the info points went well at the weekend.
Oh, yeah, we've got to congratulate Davey as well on his 33rd birthday for Friday.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday, Davey. Also, well done to the info point people.
Yes.
You're doing fantastic.
We're doing ours on Sunday.
We are.
Because I'm a bit tired at the moment, so I'm probably just going to be standing there going... Yeah, yeah, shut up.
No, just use Windows. We don't really give a shit. We're just here to privately sell our wares.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Here's a CD with Visual Studio on it.
Yeah. Don't tell anyone.
Wink, wink, CD, nudge, nudge.
Here's 18 CDs with Visual Studio on it.
It's a screenshot of Linux. Yeah. Is that all right?
In fact, it's not even a screenshot. We just took a picture with a digital camera and printed it out. That's Here's a man who's used Linux.
And see the bearded voice. Man in the corner? He's used it. Really, he has.
Feel the advocacy.
One thing that we'll be doing next week, we hope, is the Lug Radio Special Report number one.
Yes.
We'll be looking at the European and local elections, as is probably mostly of interest to people in the UK, not specifically Great Britain. And basically, we're going to be talking about how you can use your vote in the upcoming elections for open source, free software, anti-software patents, anti-copyright directive things, all that sort of stuff.
I just thought you said anti-software pirates then.
Well, yeah.
I don't know why.
Are we anti-software piracy?
No, I don't know why. I had a vision of, like, as in proper pirates.
It was Tell Day the other day. I hope you all carried your towel around yesterday.
Nah, fuck, went Tell Day.
Towel Day?
The galaxy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What was Towel Day?
Celebrating the memory of... Douglas Adams, who of course didn't die 4 years ago today.
Is that the Hitchhiker's Guide
to
the Galaxy?
Not even 42 days after.
Yeah,
is it?
So it's got no relevance in the dates. But you're not into Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy?
No, I'm not. You sad bastards.
Fucking.
That's a bit extreme. I'm gonna have to use an animal.
It's a little bit extreme there, Sparks.
Have you just done it again, Sparks?
No.
He did, didn't he?
It was a stair squeaking.
Did you see him?
Yes. I saw the chair wobble.
That was me. He did, the cheeky bastard. It's glandular. Glandular.
It's only got some glands.
The big dollop's right.
It's glandular fueled by pies as well. Pies?
Pies. Nothing will be pies.
Right, well, it's been an experience once again.
Yeah, but don't forget to tune in next week.
Yeah.
Yep.
Matt's obviously not. He's not amused by the radio.
We've got some good people.
Neither are our listeners.
We've got some good people for the election special.
So the election special is going to be. We're going to have the swingometer.
Ask him what's the largest direction it can get and stuff like that. Keep switching the word election for erection. If you interview somebody that's boring. Somebody's just a complete knob.
We're interviewing politicians and they won't be boring.
They won't be boring.
Never met a boring politician before.
My MP,
if he's... not bloody surprising, man.
Thanks.